Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome, everyone, to the PFF Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, John Macri, fantasy analyst here at PFF, and it's a Halloween slash trade deadline slash waiver wire Tuesday, which makes this a very exciting day, obviously. But I am once again joined by the great Nathan Yonke, PFF's lead fantasy analyst. Nate, how are you today, sir?
Doing well. It would be nice if the NBA didn't try to overshadow the NFL on trade deadline day, having that big James Harden deal this morning. That's not the trade that I was looking for when I was scrolling down my timeline this morning, but hopefully over these next couple hours, we have some interesting NFL trades that we'll be able to talk about later.
Yeah. Hopefully we got one yesterday, Leonard Williams from the Giants over to the Seahawks, but that was a defensive trade. We're hoping for some fun offensive trades. I know Davante Adams probably hoping that he gets traded after last night. He looked pretty upset. So we may as well just jump right into the Monday Night Football recap here, and hopefully maybe some trades pop up live while we're going through the show. If not, I guess the deadline is 4 p.m. Eastern today. So we'll see if anything else comes up, but like I said, Lions get the win at home on Monday Night Football over the Raiders, 26-14. It was a good game for Jahmyr Gibbs and the Lions, obviously. Not so much maybe for the Raiders. So let's start with Jahmyr Gibbs and the Lions, Nate. No David Montgomery in this game. So Gibbs dominated, 26 carries, 152 yards, a rushing touchdown, 5 receptions, 37 yards on 5 targets. He was a star on Monday night. What did the usage look like for Jahmyr Gibbs to dominate like this?
It was fairly positive, especially early in the game. He touched the ball on 7 of the first 9 plays, so it was clear that the plan was to get him the ball early and often. We saw him pretty well dominate usage last week as well, but we thought part of that had to do with Craig Reynolds. He was dealing with 2 separate injuries, limited in practice all the previous week. So we had thought Gibbs had kind of dominated snaps more out of necessity than anything last week, but we saw a similar thing this week where Gibbs was pretty much always on the field, except when he needed to take a break here and there after just having too many carries in a row, then Craig Reynolds would come on the field. And then late in the game when the Lions had a pretty secure lead and they were just kind of running out the clock, they didn't want to overwork Gibbs, who had already had 30 touches in the game. So Reynolds ended up getting plenty of carries late in the fourth quarter. So Reynolds' stat line ended up looking fairly good. But throughout the first 3 quarters, it was pretty clearly Gibbs was the guy, which was pretty good to see.
Yeah, he was amazing. It's nice to see him kind of get that like full-time workload and know that he can handle it and be efficient and obviously put up fantasy production. So great stuff from him for sure. Other than that, for the Lions, any other notes from you? Sam Laporta had a decent day. Amon-Ra St. Brown as well. Any notes on those guys or anybody else for Detroit?
It was interesting to see it was Williams and Raymond rotating in the third wide receiver spot like they had been recently. We did see Williams see a bit more snaps more near the end, which part of that just had to do with run blocking formations, which Williams has tended to be more in for run plays, Raymond more for pass plays. So it'll be interesting to see if Williams gets even more involved over the course of the season, but right now just kind of limited in his playing time.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense for sure. And then on the Raiders side of things, the offense struggled. I think they played 46 offensive snaps or something like that. Super low number for the year. I think it's second lowest behind only the Raiders in like week 2 or something like that. They played 40 offensive snaps. So there was not a lot of opportunity to get things done. What anybody stand out from the Raiders for you?
Yeah, they just had that one drive where they were able to run the ball, and that was basically it. The big thing that I noted was Hunter Renfrow had been getting kind of slowly but surely phased out of the offense. Tucker had been seeing the majority of snaps and 3 wide receiver sets last week, but Renfrow bounced back in a major way this week and also bounced back slightly last week as well. So he was the very clear number three wide receiver in this game, was tied for the second most receiving yards on the team with 19, which wasn't great that there were so many wide receivers and players on the Raiders that were held under 20 receiving yards, but still, it was a kind of indication to me that they probably aren't going to be trading Renfrow today, because it seemed like they were trending in that direction all season. But now that he was a clear part of the offense, I would guess that he stays on the team.
Gotcha. Unless, yeah, maybe it was like a really poor attempt at like a showcase game for him or something like that, that they move him. But yeah, you're right. It doesn't feel like that's necessarily going to be the case. Although they maybe need to make some moves. We'll see what happens today. But yeah, anything else from Monday Night Football for you, or should we?
Last thing I'll note is Michael Mayer was playing the clear majority of snaps at tight end. Anyone who was listening to us last week, we noted that he had played 46 of 50 snaps last week and then was just taken out at the end of that game because it was a blowout. So Mayer has very clearly established himself as the top tight end. It was unfortunate that like Austin Hooper was designed to get two catches early in the game, including one play that Mayer was out for. So that was kind of disappointing for people looking for Mayer to have a good game this week. But he was still on the field for almost every play, just one play early and then a drive late in the game. And that was the only plays that he was out for. So has established himself as a clear tight end, which was pretty clear last week. But for anyone who was just looking at the percentage of snaps and wasn't noticing that he was just taken out in the fourth quarter with the rest of the star players, then for those people, it's good for them to know that he's a clear tight end.
Yeah, for sure. And it's nice to see him, yeah, getting those snaps. And I know he hasn't been overly productive the past 2 weeks, but, you know, there's at least potential that this offense kind of can get back on track. We'll see. You know, they're not dead yet. There's still a lot of season to go here. So Michael Mayer could be somebody at the tight end position that we end up trusting here in the latter half of the season. But we'll get into the waiver wire targets here in a second. And I just want to give a quick shout out to our presenting sponsor, Fabric by Gerber Life. Fall is all about the back to school and back to routine checklist. And the most important task on that list should be securing your family's financial future, starting with life insurance. Fabric by Gerber Life makes it quick, easy, and affordable to protect your family so you can get back to enjoying life. Fabric was designed by parents for parents to help you get a high quality, surprisingly affordable term life insurance policy in less than 10 minutes. Fabric has flexible policies that fit your family and your budget with quality policies like $1 million in coverage for less than $1 a day. Get your personalized quote in just minutes and then apply when it's convenient for you. It's all online and on your schedule. You can go from start to covered in less than 10 minutes with no health exam required. Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/fantasy. That's meetfabric.com/fantasy, meetfabric.com/fantasy. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company. Not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions. All right, Nate, let's go on to our waiver wire targets for this week. And we'll start at the quarterback position because there's going to be a few fantasy teams that are in need of quarterback fill-ins and injury replacements this week, as there were quite a few injuries at the position. Plus, we got bye weeks back this week as well. Yeah. So starting at the top of the list is an interesting one. It is Kyler Murray of the Arizona Cardinals, rostered in 31.2% of ESPN leagues. He's potentially able to come back this week, but there was news yesterday that Clayton Tune is going to potentially be the starter for week 9 as well. So what do you like about Kyler Murray and any insight into if he'll start this week?
Sure. So the obvious thing to like is he's been a fantasy starter throughout his career when he's been healthy. I know he was on the decline a little bit to end last year, but he has been averaging at least 18.6 PPR points every season of his career, which is good enough to be a fantasy starter. So that's the big benefit of having him. I know even his rushing was down a little bit last year, but even with that, he was still a fantasy starter. It was announced immediately after the game that Joshua Dobbs would be starting at least one more week, so that seemed like a bad sign for Murray. But then the day after, they said it was either going to be Clayton Tune or Murray, so there's a chance that Murray will be ready to go. I think at this point, it's probably less of a health concern and just how well he's established in the new offense, since this is a new head coach, completely new offensive staff compared to what he's used to. So he does need experience playing with these teammates, since he didn't have training camp or any of that stuff to get actual practice time with them. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's part of it. So it's possible Murray starts next week, but Murray, I'm more so looking to pick him up for what he can do over the course of the rest of the season. So you probably have some better options we'll talk about if you are in need of a quarterback specifically this week, since we do have Russell Wilson, Jared Goff, Trevor Lawrence, and Brock Purdy, all borderline fantasy starters, all on bye weeks this week. So guessing some teams will be hurting.
Yeah, I think so for sure. And somebody that could potentially help with that going against the New England Patriots this week is Sam Howell of the Washington Commanders. We've talked about him a ton, and I feel like his rostership actually dropped from last week. I know he's playing the Eagles, so maybe people were a little bit worried about that. But 30.3% of ESPN leagues, he's rostered in Sam Howell. And all he did was finish as the QB1 this past week, Nate.
Yeah, it's the same thing that we've been saying all season. He just has the volume that other quarterbacks don't have. He threw the ball 52 times. He isn't grading as well as other quarterbacks, but that's fine for fantasy football purposes because Washington is perfectly happy to abandon the run and just throw over and over whenever it's a close game or they're playing from behind. 397 yards, 4 touchdowns. So great to see he has a decent supporting cast around him who can catch the ball. So that always helps. But I think anytime that he is in the close game or playing from behind, he can be a fantasy starter just because Washington is throwing the ball so much. So it is a little bit of a rough matchup this upcoming week against the Patriots. It's one where the Commanders could very well be favorites to win this game, and the Patriots have been fairly good at stopping quarterbacks, not quite as good at stopping running backs. So this might be one where the Commanders end up running the ball a little bit more than usual, but I still think Howell is someone who could potentially be a starter this week and definitely be a starter in other games. So hopefully this is the last time that we are talking about Howell on this show. Hopefully his 4 touchdown day gets him on enough fantasy rosters, but it's good to see. Plus, he's a young quarterback. This is his first year as a starter. There's definitely a chance that he could improve his quality of play over the second half of the season, in which case that would also be pretty big for his fantasy production.
Yeah, I'm happy to talk about Sam Howell more if we want to, even if he gets over that 50% rostership. I love Sam Howell. And he only took 1 sack against a very good Eagles defensive line as well. So that was nice to see for somebody who has like 40 sacks on the year. Also on this list is Derek Carr of the New Orleans Saints, rostered in 20.9% of ESPN leagues and had a decent game as well on Sunday.
Yeah, Carr is probably the quarterback that I'd be targeting specifically if you're looking for a quarterback this week, playing the Chicago Bears, which is a fairly strong matchup. Quarterbacks have been averaging at least 18 fantasy points per game, and Justin Herbert just threw 298 yards, 3 touchdowns against them. And we just saw Carr have a good game with the Saints, over 300 yards, the 2 touchdowns, spreading the ball around, which is great to see. The Saints have so many different options in their passing game that they can throw to, and we could see a number of players in the Saints passing game have a good game this week. So Carr, probably not someone that I'm trusting over the course of the entire season, but the Saints do have a fairly good schedule in general, so there should be more matchups like this one as well that, even though you might be picking him up specifically for this week, there could be other games that he is worth starting as well.
Yeah, I mean, they have the weapons there, right? And like you said, this is a really nice matchup for them. So I'm with you. I would be happy to stream Derek Carr this week if needed. And then the other name on the list, if for somebody that just debuted this past week and is rostered in just under 1% of ESPN leagues, is rookie quarterback, second round pick, Will Levis from the Tennessee Titans. He threw for 4 touchdowns this past week.
Yeah, it was a clear miss by a lot of fantasy analysts this week. I had him at number 32 in my rankings. A lot of other people did because there were all these reports that Malik Willis would see significant playing time and he only played the 2 snaps. So Will was the clear quarterback throughout the game, had those big plays to DeAndre Hopkins. Only completed 19 of 29 passes, so he had a lot of rate stats that aren't going to be that sustainable. 12.3 average depth of target, which was the highest for a quarterback this week, 7th highest for a quarterback in a game this season. So I'm not sure we'll continue to see quite as much dominance, and we also don't even know if he's going to be the long-term quarterback. Tennessee is playing on a short week against the Steelers on Thursday Night Football, so there's a fairly decent chance that he starts this week, and I think how well he plays this week will have a huge role in if he is going to be the starter over the course of the rest of the season. but he's just a young quarterback that it's worth seeing what he's capable of doing, and especially in some of the deeper leagues, especially super flex leagues where a lot of quarterbacks got hurt and we have the bye weeks. Levis will be huge for someone that can be a starter and picked up in those kind of leagues where the three guys we just talked about probably aren't available in super flex leagues. So Levis is the clear guy there. And in general, there's a lot of teams with like young quarterbacks that are replacing starters. I think Minnesota is the only situation that we know is going to be a long-term thing, but we don't even know who's going to be the starter there. So it's kind of hard to decide who to pick up in that situation. They might even trade for a quarterback today, in which case I know I've seen things about Jameis Winston potentially getting traded to Minnesota. I don't know how credible those reports are. Winston would be someone to pick up if he is traded to Minnesota, or I could see any other kind of big name backup quarterback who gets traded to Minnesota would also be worth a waiver wire ad, but we'll see if they end up making a trade today or not.
Yeah, Jameis Winston was the one I was thinking of too, like just as another name here. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Minnesota does, right? Because I mean, Winston, sure, like he could probably win you games. I mean, he's probably not winning you a Super Bowl. So I guess it just depends on how they feel about their season and how they're going here. We'll see what happens today, obviously. But yeah, really interested in seeing what happens with the Minnesota quarterback situation, obviously. Let's go on to some running backs here, Nate. And there is somebody at the top of the list we've talked about before. It's possible this is going to be the last time we talk about him, and that's Chuba Hubbard of the Carolina Panthers, rostered in 42.9% of ESPN leagues.
Yeah, he was the clear starter again this past week, with the big thing being Miles Sanders was a full participant in practice all week. So even with Sanders fully healthy, Hubbard was the guy. Wasn't all that efficient running the ball, didn't average that many yards per carry or yards per catch for that matter. So there's a chance that he won't be picked up in a ton of leagues. But I think just the number of carries and touches that he received, and there's decent enough reason to believe that this will continue throughout the rest of the season. Miles Sanders hadn't been playing that well, so I think it might be a while before we see Sanders have a huge role in the offense. I think Hubbard will just continue to be the guy. We could definitely see Carolina potentially trade for someone today, just depending on how the trade deadline goes. But I think as long as they don't trade for someone, Hubbard's the top running back to get both short-term and long-term at running back.
Yeah, makes sense. And a couple other names here, Zach Charbonnet of the Seattle Seahawks. We talked a little bit about him yesterday as well. 30.3% roster ship on ESPN, and Amari DiMarcato of the Arizona Cardinals at 38.2%. Anybody that you want to dive into there?
Yeah, I think it's worth talking about Charbonnet again, just because I've seen plenty of talk on social media about maybe this isn't just Kenneth Walker injury thing. And I think it's very clear based on the usage that Charbonnet is going to see more playing time going forward, even with Kenneth Walker once he's fully healthy again, because Charbonnet completely took over the passing down work for DJ Dallas. So that happened regardless of the Walker injury. So I think Charbonnet will continue to see more playing time going forward, and having more playing time will give him more opportunities to prove that he should be getting more carries and whatnot. So I think it's definitely worth picking him up to see what he can do going forward. Pete Carroll had some pretty good words to say about him as well, so that was positive to see. This will probably be more of a two-man backfield. It'll be interesting to see if they can sustain having two fantasy-relevant running backs, just depending on how well the offense is playing in general. We've seen that happen before in some offenses, and I think if there's any offense that will have two fantasy-relevant running backs, I think Seattle could be one of those backfields that could sustain that. So it'll be worth seeing how well both of these guys play going forward and how much the touches are distributed, but I think it's worth at least picking them up to see what will happen going forward, since this is probably the most positive step that we've seen from him so far this season.
Yeah, definitely nice to see that he takes the passing down work, at least from DJ Dallas there. That's a big boost for him going forward. We talked about a Bears running back, I think, last week in Deontay Foreman. This week, we got Roshon Johnson, who is rostered in 46.3% of leagues. What did we see from the Chicago backfield here?
It was mostly a two-man backfield at times. It was a lot of Deontay Foreman and Roschon Johnson. The big thing is Darrington Evans also got involved because Foreman's not used much in passing situations. So a lot of times when it was one of Foreman's drives, it was Evans coming in for the passing down work, and Chicago was playing from behind. So Foreman really didn't play, I think, at all in the fourth quarter. I think it was completely Johnson and Evans in the quarter. So we saw the typical split for Chicago where they use their starting running back for the first two drives and then went to the backup on the third drive. So it was Foreman getting the start, but Johnson did end up with the most snaps because he is both an early down back as well as a late down back, took all of the 2-minute drill snaps, took the majority of the third down snaps. So I think we'll see Khalil Herbert come back sooner rather than later, and in which case I wouldn't be surprised if Foreman is back to being inactive, just because Foreman is only a two down back where Johnson is more well-rounded. So I think Johnson will continue to have this kind of role in the offense going forward. And I think if he is able to play well, that means he has a chance to be the starter at some point, especially if it takes some time for Herbert to get back to 100%. So I think it'll be a fluid situation in Chicago, how their running backs are used. But I think Johnson is the safest bet to be involved in that offense over the course of the rest of the season.
Yeah, I'm with you. And we saw Johnson involved in the offense even when Khalil Herbert was healthy, right? So there's at least a chance that he continues in that role when Herbert's back. So you like to see that. A couple other names here that we've also talked about previously, and that's Devin Singletary of the Houston Texans, rostered in 32.6% of ESPN leagues, and Tajay Spears of the Tennessee Titans, rostered at 36.1% of ESPN leagues. Anybody that you want to talk more about for those two guys?
I'll mention with Singletary, we did see for a second straight week a similar role to what he had before the bye week, where he was playing roughly half the snaps on early downs, which was good to see. Getting 10 carries for 30 yards, just not playing quite as much in third downs as we would like. There's a chance he could overtake Pierce as a main running back at some point, but based on this game, it doesn't look like Singletary will have a big enough role to be fantasy relevant quite yet, but he has the opportunity to both overtake Pierce on early downs as well as play a lot on third downs. So if he starts playing well, the opportunity is there for him to have a huge season. He just needs to start playing a little bit better.
For sure. And then the last name on the list, somebody for potentially deeper leagues here, is Pierce Strong of the Cleveland Browns, the running back there. We know, obviously, the Nick Chubb situation, but Pierce Strong emerging here and getting a little bit more work.
Yeah, I tried to include at least one or two guys that are available in over 90% of ESPN leagues. There wasn't too many players that stood out this week, just a lot of players who are clear handcuffs. But Strong is the one player that I think has a more clear path to playing time in the immediate future, just because Jerome Ford and Kareem Hunt are both dealing with injuries right now. It was basically a three-man backfield this past week, all of them splitting early down work, all of them seeing significant carries, significant offensive snaps. So there's a chance that if Ford has a setback or if Hunt has a setback, then Strong would be seeing significant playing time. Or if both of them just continue to not be at 100%, I think Strong will continue to be pretty heavily involved in this offense.
I like it. All right, let's wrap up the running backs here, and we will go on to the wide receivers in just a second. But first, I want to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a skill-based real money daily fantasy sports game. How does it work? You pick 2 to 6 players. If they will go more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. So, Nate, we're heading into week 9 here. We got a few different options up on the board. It's not the full slate of options just yet on Prize Picks, but you've picked out one that that you like over here.
Yeah, luckily they did have a lot of options available, and I think last night was a good example of why you should be making your Prize Picks fairly early, because the numbers do change over time. I had Josh Jacobs getting less than 61.5 rushing yards yesterday, and he just got barely under that. He got 61, but that number was dropping over time. So make sure to get your picks in early. But I have Zay Flowers with 54 or more than 54.5 receiving yards. I really like this matchup he has against Seattle this week. The big reason why is Seattle runs a more zone defense than any other team so far this season. And Flowers, a lot of his work has come against zone defense, has a higher target rate against zone, 2.28 yards per route run against zone defenses compared to 0.78 against man defenses. So I think Flowers is uniquely suited to take advantage of Seattle's coverage. So I think Flowers should be able to have a good game. And he has been gotten more than 54.5 receiving yards in more games than not so far this season. So I think this will be a pretty big game for Flowers.
I like it. And and then we also got, I put Alvin Kamara over 36.5 receiving yards going against the Chicago Bears. We talked about it with Derek Carr, how we like the matchup there for quarterbacks. But Alvin Kamara has been a big part of their receiving game as well. He's had at least 36 yards in each of the past three games, and often well over that as well, getting targeted quite a bit there from Derek Carr. So I like the potential there for Alvin Kamara to hit his over at 36.5 against Chicago. At Prize Picks, you aren't competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections. Go to prizepicks.com/PFFFantasy and use code PFFFantasy for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, that's prizepicks.com/PFFFantasy. Use code PFFFantasy for a first deposit match up to $100. All right, Nate, let's go to some wide receiver waiver wire targets here. And starting at the top of the Green Bay Packers, it's Romeo Doubs, who is just under 50%. He's 48.5% of ESPN leagues. Romeo Doubs had a decent game on Sunday as well. You'd be happy about picking him up, I guess.
He scored a touchdown, which was a big thing for him, but only caught 4 of his 9 targets for 18 yards. The Packers offense has been struggling at times. Picking up Doubs is mostly taking a gamble that the Packers offense will start doing better over the course of the rest of the season. He is up to 5 touchdowns this season, which is pretty good to see. And his 48 targets are 35th most among wide receivers. So he is seeing the targets necessary to be a fantasy starter. It's just the quality of targets hasn't always been there for Doubs. So I think if Jordan Love can start playing better, then Doubs will be a pretty consistent fantasy starter because he is getting the targets. It just Jordan Love hasn't been playing well enough to get Doubs consistently involved. So I think he definitely has the potential to be a fantasy starter. It just the offense needs to start playing better. And once that happens, Doubs will be playing a lot better.
Yeah, I'm with you. We wrote about Doubs in the O-line D-line matchup article this past week and talked about how he was one of the most targeted player on the team when there was no pressure on the play either. He led the team in first downs and touchdowns with no pressure. So nice to see that there's at least some potential there that Jordan Love is looking for him when he has a clean pocket as well. So maybe some positive matchups that we can target Romeo Doubs in going forward. Also on the list of wide receivers here is Michael Wilson of the Arizona Cardinals. We've talked about him a couple of times as well, but rostered in just 9% of ESPN leagues.
Had another solid game, caught 4 passes for 58 yards. So not a huge performance, but just solid. And he's been catching at least 50 yards in 5 of his last 7 games. So has been playing fairly well. His 401 receiving yards this season in the top 40 for wide receivers. So he's just at that borderline of being a fantasy starter. So a little surprising that he's this much available. But I think one thing to look forward to is Kyler Murray coming back to Arizona's offense. I think that'll be huge for Wilson. Wilson has one of the highest average depths of target this season, has been a little bit dependent on making big plays, and Murray was fairly consistently among the top 8 quarterbacks in deep passing yards in the past couple of seasons. So I think Murray will be even better well-suited to take advantage of Michael Wilson's skill set. So I think Murray to Wilson could be a pretty big thing over the second half of the season. So I would have been happy with Wilson, even if Joshua Doubs had remained the quarterback for the rest of the year. But knowing that Murray will be coming back, I think this will be a great connection between the quarterback and this rookie wide receiver.
Yeah, he's been really good. And you mentioned like Zay Flowers being a lot better against zone coverage as well. Michael Wilson, another one of those guys that stood out against zone coverage. Going against the Browns this week, we're like the most man-heavy team in the league. So maybe not somebody that potentially has a great matchup this week. But like you said, going forward with Kyler Murray back in the lineup, he could be somebody that really emerges down the stretch here. Next on the list is DeMario Douglas of the New England Patriots, who is rostered in just 1.1% of leagues. I know we talked about the Patriots wide receivers quite a bit yesterday, but for anybody that missed it, Nate, what do we like about DeMario Douglas?
Yeah, I can focus more on Douglas, who he's been having just a very good season on a per play basis, 75.9 PFF receiving grade, which is the best of the Patriots receivers. None of the other healthy receivers are above 60 so far this season, so he's been clearly the best. Second most targets, receptions, receiving yards among the wide receivers on the team, all behind Kendrick Bourne, who it was reported immediately after our podcast yesterday that he was out for the season. So ideally, we would have known that 10 minutes earlier. So when we talked about the Patriots wide receivers, we could have added that context in there, but just missed that. But Douglas, 24.3 target rate so far this season. So the big thing that he has needed is more playing time. And he finally started to see that playing time this past week. Even with Juju Smith-Schuster healthy and on the active roster, Douglas played 100% of snaps and 11 personnel. Douglas had been seeing just over 50% all season, playing over Juju Smith-Schuster a lot of the times, but it was still mixed. But this time, it was Douglas taking all the snaps, so Douglas was getting more involved even before the Bourne injury. Also was playing in 12 personnel a lot more, had only taken two snaps in 12 personnel all season before this past week, and then took 6 of 14 snaps in this past game. So also getting more involved in two wide receiver sets. So it was pretty clear they wanted him involved in the offense, even in the game where everyone started the game healthy. But now that Bourne is out for the season, I expect Douglas to be the top wide receiver in New England. So I know the Patriots offense hasn't been all that great this season, but in general, number one wide receivers on team should be rostered because they should be seeing plenty of targets. And Douglas has been playing well when he's been given the opportunity.
He has, yeah, for sure. And then somebody else on this list, it's a guy we talked about a little bit here, but could potentially be a little bit more interesting in the weeks ahead, and that's Quentin Johnston of the Los Angeles Chargers. So we saw Sunday night, Josh Palmer looked to potentially re-injure his knee there, kind of limped off the field. So Quentin Johnston rostered in 31.4% of leagues right now.
Yeah, he had his best game so far this season, 5 receptions, 50 receiving yards. Has continued to just have that role as a third wide receiver in the Chargers offense, but was able to get more involved. The big thing was his target rate increased. That was thrown to 22.2% of his routes, which was, and that number was in the single digits the previous 2 weeks. So the big thing is he was getting thrown to more, which was great to see. It sounds like they want to get him more involved, which, considering he was their first round draft pick, makes sense that they want to get him involved. Had 4 first downs in this one, which was great to see. So he was someone that in previous weeks we were just saying that we aren't ready to give up on him based on how well he did in college and how much the Chargers have invested in him. And this was a clear step in the right direction. So another guy that basically all of these wide receivers, I'm not sure I want to put in my fantasy starting lineup this upcoming week, but someone that I'd be happy to pick up because I think there's the opportunity for him to have a strong second half of the season.
Nice. I like it. And then we also have Jonathan Mingo, another rookie wide receiver here of the Carolina Panthers, rostered in 8% of ESPN leagues. And another rookie wide receiver, Jaden Reed of the Green Bay Packers, rostered in 17% of leagues. Which one of these rookies do you want to focus on?
I think we could talk about them basically at the same time. Both had 4 receptions, over 60 receiving yards. So good to see. Both players have had the same role in their offenses all season. Mingo's been a clear starter. Reed's been the Packers' slot receiver all season. Often, both offenses aren't playing as well as we'd like to see, but just both more rookies that are worth taking shots on because we have seen them have some success early this season. So there's the possibility that they start playing more consistently well over the course of the second half of the season, especially if their quarterbacks start playing better.
Nice. I like that. And then a guy that had a massive game as far as receiving yards go, Rashid Shaheed of the New Orleans Saints, who is rostered in 18.3% of the leagues of ESPN leagues. And we know he's a deep threat, but if they're going to start airing the ball out to him here, he could potentially be another guy that is a nice deeper league add here.
Yeah, he caught a 58-yard touchdown pass, a 51-yard pass, and a 44-yard pass this past week. So had an excellent game. The big thing with him is we know that he is a deep threat that doesn't have a high target rate. 18.2 average depth of target this season, which is the highest among wide receivers with at least 25 targets, but only a 14.2% target rate. So he's been the same player that he's been throughout his career, just someone who is capable of making big plays, but he doesn't make them as consistently as we would like to see. This was his first 100-yard game. He has four games this season with at least 60 yards, but the other four games he's been held to 33 yards or fewer. And especially when you're talking about PPR leagues, it's 10 nights to be have some wide receivers who see a lot of catches that don't average that many yards per catch compared to some of these deep threats, because you at least get those points for those receptions. So when Shaheed doesn't have that big game, then that really hurts your fantasy lineup. So even though he had the best game out of all the wide receivers on this list, I'm not as optimistic about him just because I don't see the path for him seeing a much higher target rate, because they have Chris Olave, they have Michael Thomas, they have Alvin Kamara, who all deserve high target rates. So if there's ever an injury to Olave or Thomas, then I think Shaheed could be a fairly consistent fantasy starter. But without that, I think he'll be too inconsistent for me to ever want to start him. But he is at least worth mentioning, considering he made those three big plays, and maybe he does start making those big plays a little bit more consistently.
Yeah, for sure. And he's somebody like those deep leagues, right? You start five wide receivers, 14 team or something like that, right? Yeah. Where that's kind of where I've been using him. And you really just hoping for one of those big plays to hit at that point, because there's so many wide receivers that you're starting across the league. So he's delivered a couple times, but yeah, you're right. It's more inconsistent, obviously, depending on those deep plays, but they can be high value targets if he starts to see them more regularly. We also have Khalil Shakir, who is rostered in just 0.2% of ESPN leagues of the Buffalo Bills, and Marvin Mims of the Denver Broncos. He's also under 10% as well. A couple more deeper league ads here, Nate.
Shakir, he was someone that a lot of people were high on last year. And then to start this year, people weren't as high on him because Deontay Hardy had become this slot receiver. Trent Sherfield was getting involved. But Shakir, week after week, just slowly but surely increased his playing time. And this past week, especially with Dawson Knox on injured reserve, the Bills started using more 11 personnel, which meant Shakir ended up being on the field a lot more. He started to become the clear slot receiver. Deontay Hardy largely phased out of the offense, sticking more with special teams plays. So it was just great to see Shakir both get more involved in the offense, and then he had 92 yards on 6 receptions, so they were getting him the ball a lot. So this is just a situation of he's a young wide receiver with a great quarterback, so there's the opportunity that he has these big games again. It's going to be hard to have for him to have this consistently, considering they have Stephon Diggs in the offense. Dalton Kincaid is getting better. Gabe Davis is also capable of having big games, just had one of his biggest games of his career recently. So it might not be a consistent player, but there's a chance that he could become a bit more consistent going forward. So especially considering he's available in so many leagues, someone that I think is worth taking a chance on in some of the deeper leagues.
Yeah, I'm with you. And it's nice to see that spike in playing time for sure, especially in that offense. Marvin Mims, look, we've talked about him, but again, potentially there's rumors around the Denver Broncos, maybe potentially trading a wide receiver. We'll see what happens today, but that would open up maybe some more playing time for Marvin Mims, hopefully.
Brandon Johnson went on injured reserve this past week. He had been Mims' main competition for playing time, so we had hoped that Mims would see a significant boost in playing time this week, and unfortunately it was only a slight increase. Lil Jordan Humphrey was getting more involved in the offense. Traquan Smith was brought up from the practice squad and took some snaps as well, so wasn't the huge increase for Mims that we were hoping. So at this point, very much hoping that there's a trade of either Jerry Jeudy or Cortland Sutton or both. So we'll see what happens over the course of these next 6 hours or so. If no trade materializes, then I'm probably not looking to pick up Mims, especially with how his playing time has been all season. That hasn't been encouraging. Obviously, a chance that changes at some point, but there hasn't been much of a sign that they're trying to get Mims heavily involved in the offense yet.
Yeah, kind of frustrating to see there. So I'm with you. I think it is just kind of waiting out to see if there's a trade. But if not, it doesn't seem hopeful that he's going to see like a consistent role going forward. So that's our wide receivers. Let's do one more quick ad break here from Manscaped. Manscaped has taken a step up from Balloween to bring you your face the cleanest shave it's ever seen. So this season, no need to toil and trouble. Manscaped's all-new Handyman is the best way to get rid of that stubble. Featuring a compact design and next-gen skin-safe technology, the Handyman was designed to give you that smooth finish without the mess of a traditional shave. Get the sweetest treat this Halloween by going to manscaped.com and use code PFF for 20% off plus free shipping for wet or dry use. Feel free to bring this anywhere and everywhere. The compact design and airplane friendliness makes this the perfect travel tool for on the go. And being able to shave up to 3 days growth without the mess of a wet shave is priceless. And for my wolfmen with a little more scruff, Manscaped's Beard Hedger Pro Kit has everything you need to tame your mane. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code PFF at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code PFF for a look as sweet as candy. Get yourself the Handyman from Manscaped. All right, Nate, let's talk about some tight ends here. And leading the list is Jake Ferguson, rostered in 49% of ESPN leagues. He just makes the cut here. We've talked about Jake Ferguson quite a bit in this pod and in the takeaways pod as well a few times. So Jake Ferguson is the top listed name here for you.
Oh, yeah, he had another good game, caught 4 passes, 47 yards and a touchdown. So that was great to see. He was playing 88% of offensive snaps over the first three quarters. So he would have had his best game of his career in terms of offensive snap rate. But then fourth quarter, they had too big of a lead. So they started taking out their starters in the fourth quarter, which decreased his playing time, but still good to see over the first three quarters. And just he's had a lot of volume so far this season. His playing time is finally there. Has been great after the catch. Has the best avoided tackle rate per route run among tight ends so far this season. So I think he's either borderline fantasy starter or a consistent fantasy starter going forward, but definitely someone who needs to be on rosters at this point.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you on that one. And then Logan Thomas of the Washington Commanders also makes the list here, rostered in 38.5% of leagues. We talked about the passing volume there for Washington and Sam Howell. So obviously we like that for Logan Thomas as well.
Yeah, it's pretty similar reasons. Thomas hasn't been grading all that great this season, but he did catch 6 passes for 44 yards and a touchdown, averaging over 9.5 PPR points per game. So he's been averaging enough points to be a fantasy starter all season long. And it's just a passing volume thing where Washington is throwing so many passes. Thomas doesn't have that many competition, not much competition for snaps. So he's running a ton of routes. He doesn't need to be all that efficient on his routes because he's just running so many of them. So he's been playing well enough to be a fantasy starter, and that should continue over the rest of the season, especially in games where Washington, it'll be closer if they're playing from behind. So I think we can kind of see ahead of time which games we think Thomas might do well versus not do well. So might not be great in shallower leagues where you might only be able to roster one tight end, but in leagues where the benches are deep enough for you to have two tight ends where you're choosing each week which one to start, I think Thomas is definitely worth consideration in those kind of leagues.
Yeah, I like it. And then we talked about Michael Mayer at the top here when we did our Monday Night Football recap, and we talked about him last week as well. The playing time is all there. Production, maybe not so much just yet, but somebody that we could potentially be looking at going forward. And he's rostered in just 6.7 of ESPN leagues. But we also have Trey McBride of the Arizona Cardinals, who's rostered in 7.3% of ESPN leagues, had himself a fairly good game on Sunday as well.
Oh, yeah, he had kind of a breakout game. Zach Ertz landed on injured reserve, so McBride had a significant increase in playing time, as we expected. Took the clear majority of snaps in 11 personnel, consistently playing in 12 personnel. So that was all great to see. The big thing with McBride, even though he put up big numbers, he had a 39% target rate, so that's not going to be quite sustainable. Don't expect him to have as big of games going forward, but I think he is capable of having a fairly decent season over the rest of the season. It will be interesting to see what happens once Ertz is off of injured reserve, but at least for the next couple of games, I think McBride is definitely in contention to be a fantasy starter.
Yeah, I like it. And like you said, also Kyler Murray getting back could help that offense, or at least the passing offense, be a little bit more efficient as well. So we like that. But that is all our waiver wire targets for this week. Again, we got four teams on bye. We got plenty of injuries. So hopefully that helps you guys find some options off the waiver wire to get through week 9 and the weeks ahead. So that'll do it for our fantasy portion of the podcast. We do always have our 5-round draft, Nate, as well. And it's Halloween today, so we're going with best Halloween candy. I'm realizing that as a Canadian, I have different candies here as well. And then as I was doing my research, I found that I'm very picky as far as Halloween candy goes. So I have almost no hope of winning this one. So we'll see how it goes. But I got the flag football one. So you get the first overall pick in this one. I'll be interested to see where you go, because I really have no idea where to go with the first overall pick. So I'm glad it's you first.
Fair. I will go with Reese's Peanut Butter Cups for my first pick. Done my research. Part of this inspiration was 538 a couple years back. Did a bunch of scientific research on the best Halloween candies as well. So taking into account both their research and my taste buds. And I think Reese's is a unique candy considering the peanut butter aspect to it, but also the fact that it can be more seasonal. They have their pumpkin shaped Reese's peanut butter cups right now. They have different ones for different holidays. So I think the versatility of it, and I think also them being a sponsor in that college all-star game as well. So having Reese's, it's good for that reason as well. So having Reese's as my first pick.
Nice. Well done. Yeah. The Reese's, for some reason, it was the number one on like all the lists that I was looking at. And this is how I knew I was going to lose, because I do not like Reese's peanut butter cups. I don't like peanut butter. So this is really going to kick me in the ass here, because I don't know. My first overall pick. Let me know if any of these are like Canadian specific, because I might not know for sure. But my first overall pick, I'm going to go with the little Hershey's cookies and cream bars. It's like a white chocolate with the little like bits of Oreo in there. Really like those. Those are always one of the more favorite chocolates that I can get from Halloween candies.
Yeah, that's fair. Those are definitely good. I don't necessarily associate that with Halloween, but I'm sure some people have gotten it for Halloween before, but it fits the criteria. It's chocolate, okay. That's candy and tastes good. So I think that fits just fine.
Okay. Yeah, this might be a problem then, because I don't have like Halloween specific. These are just like candies that I hope to get, or that I pick through my kids' candies and try to find.
Yeah. Fair enough. I think I will go with Twix for my next one. And definitely just whatever I'm in the mood for at the time. But Twix, I think, is something that is good, and especially in the Halloween size, something that I'm taking into consideration is there's different candy that like is good when you get the full size ones or you're eating a lot of, but sometimes if it's just in the small size that you might get for Halloween, it's not as satisfying. But I think even if you're getting that small size Twix that comes in Halloween candy, you still get the taste of Twix and are still happy with that experience. So I'll go with Twix for my number two pick.
Yeah, Twix is a good pick. That would have been my next one for sure. So that is really limiting my list here. I'm going to go with Kit Kat bars, the little mini ones. Again, I don't know, you know, maybe not specific candy for Halloween, but it is a lot of people give away those little mini candy bars, the Kit Kat. So I really like those.
Yeah, that was the next one on my list. So you snapped me and I snapped you out of those ones, but Kit Kat's definitely a good one. I think I will go with Snickers next. Snickers, plenty of Snickers commercials throughout football games over the several years. But I think Snickers, it's another one that like the little size isn't quite as good as a full size Snickers bar, but it's still decently good. And Snickers is another one that like if you're just in the aisle at the grocery store deciding what you're in the mood for, there are definitely times where Snickers wins out among the rest of the candy bars. So I will go with Snickers for the next one.
Nice. Good call. You know what? We've gone pretty much all chocolate here. So I'm going to go with like a candy. I like the little packs of Skittles that people give out. I know they only do really the red Skittle bags. I wish they would do it like mini purple ones or the mini little blue ones. They need to start switching it up and adding in the different flavors there for those little mini packs for Halloween. But I do like Skittles quite a bit. So that will be my next pick.
That's a perfectly fair pick. I will go with Butterfingers for my next one, just another variety. I'm sticking with chocolate, but I'm probably going to stick with chocolate for all of my picks with this. But Butterfinger, just another, add more variety to the various kinds of chocolate candy that I have. Definitely tastes different from all the other ones I picked so far. So adding to my chocolate variety here.
Nice. I like it. So I think I'm going to go. Okay, so you know what? This one might be a little bit more Canadian because I realized that Smarties are different for Canada and the US. Smarties, for I guess in the US, I realized they're like a chalky kind of candy, but Smarties in Canada are like a chocolate, or an actual chocolate candy. They're almost like M&M's in a way, but like there they are.
Yeah.
There's your Smartie. we're putting the slideshow to work here for the draft as well. I had a feeling that I'd have to describe this one, so I put this in there. They're almost like M&M's, but they're a chocolate kind of little candy as well. But they're delicious. So Smarties from Nestle for the win for me.
Okay. Nice. Yeah, I was not aware that there were different kind of Smarties for you. So I'm used to the different kind of Smarties, and while those are I don't even remember the last time that I had Smarties. It's probably been at least a decade. So probably not going to be one that I'm picking. This is my last pick. Have a couple of different options. I think I will go with peanut M&Ms for my last pick. Similar thing where it's sometimes a Halloween size that's not satisfying enough because they come in the little bags and there's only so many that fit in that, and you kind of need the full size to be fully satisfied there. But I think peanut M&Ms, and like M&Ms is another one where ideally they would start having even more options in those smaller Halloween sizes, because there's plenty of different solid M&M flavors out there, or different kinds of M&Ms, but I think peanut M&Ms is the one that I will go with for my last pick.
Nice. All right. And for my last pick here, oh man. I guess I'll go. Do you guys have Aero bars?
I don't think so. Okay.
Oh man, I am so going to lose this. We're going to have way too many American voters. This is an Aero bar here. It's basically like a bubbly chocolate. It's almost like a Mirage bar. From what I understand, I've never had a Mirage bar, but I've had plenty of Aero bars. Again, it's a milk chocolate with the airy bubbles in the middle. It's delicious. And it's just like pure chocolate. So, that'll be my last pick. And this is, again, why I'm going to lose. People are going to be like, what the hell is an Aero bar? But that is it. If you're watching on YouTube, you get to see the picture of it there. So, so you got Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Twix, Snickers, Butterfingers, and Peanut M&Ms. And I have the Hershey's Cookies and Cream Bar, Kit Kat, Skittles, Smarties, the chocolate kind. I'll probably have to specify that in the poll, not that it's going to matter, and Aero Bar as well.
Maybe if you don't specify it, then people will just associate it with whatever they know anyway.
That's probably a good call. That's I'll probably just leave it alone. I don't feel like I have any chance of winning this one anyway. So that is going to wrap up our episode of the PFF Fantasy Podcast Waiver Wire Edition. Again, this is a great time of year to attack those waiver wires. Stay active. You know, even if you're not the highest priority on the list, you might be higher than you think, as those lower teams kind of lose interest and maybe aren't as on time in getting their waiver wire claims in there, and maybe not be paying as much attention. So definitely be sure to get your waiver wire claims in ahead of time. And we hopefully had a good enough list here for you guys to get ahead of that for week 9 as well. Nate, big thank you to you for putting this list together. And before you go, let everybody know what you have up on pff.com for this week.
Sure. Have the recap for all of the 16 games that happened this past weekend plus last Thursday. Have the waiver wires that we just went over in a little bit more detail than what we went over today. Have 5 to add, 5 to drop, 5 to buy low, 5 to sell high, rest of season rankings. The rankings for next week will be up on the website later today, and then in article form tomorrow. And then we'll have start set the day after that. And then we'll mention, especially with waivers, today being that weird trade deadline day, Halloween day. Like you were saying, there might be people who miss putting in their waiver wires because they are out doing things for Halloween. So this is definitely a day to attack it. And then also just keep an eye on PFF throughout the rest of the day. If there is a trade for a running back or a wide receiver that happens over these next 6 hours, that will change which running backs and wide receivers should be prioritized off the waiver wire. So things could be changing, in which case we will definitely let you know on the website, on social media. So be sure to follow us there, because things could be changing over this time of which running backs to target, which wide receivers to target. Like we were talking before, Marvin Mims could be huge if Denver makes a trade. We don't think Derrick Henry will be traded at this point, but if he does, Tajay Spears would be huge in Tennessee going forward. But there could be something completely unexpected, which results in a former backup player who's not rostered very much to become a starter over the rest of the season.
For sure. Yeah. Hopefully we get some kind of big trade today to make this excitement worth it, because there's always a lot of buildup around trade deadlines. So hopefully the NFL can get something interesting for us to talk about and maybe make some fantasy implications as well. So we like to see that. As for me, we'll have the IDP fantasy report out today by this afternoon, and that'll have all the IDP waiver wire targets in there as well. I will be back tomorrow with the weekly IDP preview episode, and then back with Kate on Thursday previewing the offensive side of the ball, of course. So again, thank you all very much for tuning in and listening. Good luck at those waiver claims. Have a happy Halloween, and until next time, peace out.